Hey, my name is Ryan McVitie, and I am the pastor of the River Worship. Thank you so much for joining us on our podcast. If you haven't heard about the River yet, it's an amazing move of God happening in the greater Toronto area. Yes, Toronto, Canada. It's a cold place, but we have warm hearts, and we love coming together every Tuesday night and worshiping the Lord with all we've got. We also get to dive into the Word, and that's where we're going to go right now. We're going to dive into the Word of God, and I trust and pray that it will impact you in a powerful way. If you're ever in the Toronto area, come visit us. We would love for you to worship with us together. But enjoy the message, and God bless you.
Amen. You can be seated. We're going to get in the Word of God. Isn't God great? Come on, you can give Him some more praise. I get overwhelmed when I think about the greatness of God. Well, I'm excited to get in the Word. It's a shorter word tonight, but I do believe it's something that I need, something the Holy Spirit has been speaking to me about. I'm tired. I bet you're tired if you stayed up last night. My wife said, you did this to yourself. Don't look for sympathy. Nobody made you stay up for the game. But I stayed up, you know, because I was saying to myself, man, this is history. And it was the tied for the longest game in the history of the World Series in baseball. It was incredible last night. And I think I stood up because I had this feeling. It's like, I don't want to miss the moment. You know what I'm saying? The moment where something great happens. I don't want to miss that moment. Man. And then we lost. So there was a moment. But there could have been another moment. Have you ever had those types of moments, though, in life where you don't want to leave a situation because you just feel like there's something spectacular that might happen? You ever had those moments? And you know, if you try to tell other people about those moments, it's hard to put into words. It's like you had to be there to really experience it. Well, a few days ago, I had one of those situations. My dad is my best friend. He's not here tonight. He's on a ministry trip, but I love this man of God. He's a pastor. I'm a PK. We do life together. We're both big sports fans. And last week, I got an email that I was very excited about. We have some really close family friends who have had season tickets to the Blue Jays for a long time. And normally, when I get an email from them, I'm happy. This week, when I got an email from them, I was ecstatic because they blessed my dad and I with tickets to game one of the World Series. And we got to go to the Rogers Center and we got to watch something spectacular unfold. We're seated in the center. The atmosphere is electric. The place is packed. It gets to the sixth inning though, and not a lot has happened until all of a sudden, the bases are loaded, there's zero outs, and now there's opportunity. And it feels like there's about to be a moment where everything in that game could change, and then something spectacular happened. An outfielder got up to the plate, he got his bat in position, and I heard the crack of that bat, and the ball took off into the what seemed like the stratosphere. And it seemed like it was in the air for a minute. It was probably 2 or 3 seconds. And the entire stadium went silent, waiting to see what would happen. And of course, if you know what I'm talking about, the ball was a home run. It was a World Series grand slam. And the Toronto Blue Jays won the game. It was crazy. It was unbelievable. And some moments you can't really explain, you gotta see. So I did take a video. You wanna see the video? You want to see this pastor lose his mind and go crazy? Don't judge me, all right? The atmosphere was wild. Play the video, y'all. That's the moment. That's my dad. That's me. I'm going crazy. Strangers are hugging strangers. I never even met this dude next to me, and I'm jumping all over him. Look at that face. 50,000 people losing their mind. A grand slam. The Jays went up 9-2. There it is. And won the game. What a spectacular moment to get to witness. There was something about the atmosphere in the room at that moment, and I just remember thinking this, I can't believe I'm here to witness this. I can't believe I get to be here and get to see this, and I can't believe I didn't even have to pay a dollar for it. This is incredible. I have some good friends. What a blessing it was to be there in that moment. It was something that I will tell my kid, Maverick, about 30 years from now, just like how my dad has talked to me about the 1993 World Series. Anybody old enough to be alive for the 1993 World Series? I was 3 years old, but I was there. Then the next night, though, I watched game two, and things were a little different. Number one, we lost. We didn't win. But number two, I was watching on TV, and I gotta tell you, on TV, it just wasn't quite the same from being seated at third base. Don't get me wrong, I'm a baseball fan. I toughed it out 18 innings last night. I watched, but I learned something, that there's something very different between being in the room and watching from a distance. There's something very different from being close, in close proximity, and hearing about something after it's happened. What I want to talk to you about tonight, and the reason why I'm giving you this baseball story before we get in the Word of God, is I want to tell you there is a difference when you are in the room with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want to tell you there's a difference when you stay close to God, even when it's hard. Because let me tell you something, you just never know what God might do in your life. You just never know what the next page of your story might be when the author is a God who is good and who is for you and not against you. What I want to talk to you about tonight, my friends, is the power of staying. The power of staying when you don't feel like staying. The power of staying close to your God, even when you're not seeing his hand move the way you expect his hand to move. Would you look to your neighbor and help this preacher out? And would you shout to your neighbor, stay. No, come on, shout stay. The Jays game's just started and they are tempted to leave right now. Shout stay. Stay. Stay awake. Stay faithful. Stay ready. Stay close. Stay where the Lord has assigned you. Stay where he has called you. We're going to get in the Word, and I want to take you back 2,000 years to a moment. In fact, one of the most spectacular moments in all of human history. A moment where 11 faithful men stayed, even though it made no sense to them. Even though they were heartbroken, maybe that's you. Even though they were scared, maybe that's you. Even though it didn't work out the way they thought it would work out, maybe that's your testimony today. But these men stayed. I want to take you all the way back to a place called the Upper Room in Israel. The Upper Room in Jerusalem. 2,000 years ago, John chapter 20, it's going to come up on the screen, verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, let me give you some context. They're terrified. They're being hunted. They're heartbroken. Why? Because the man that they called Rabbi, the man that they called Messiah, the man that they called the Son of God is dead. This is in between. He's not risen now. He's dead. He was just crucified on a cross. They left their career. They left their family, they left their profession, they left everything to follow him, and he is now dead. This is the darkest moment, the lowest low possible. But I'll tell you what they didn't do, run. They stayed. The doors were locked, they were scared, but they stayed. What was the upper room? The upper room was their ministry headquarters. This is the place where they would pray, the place where they would plan, the place they would go out from. They stayed together in the upper room, and something spectacular happens. Jesus Christ, the resurrected King now, comes and steps into the room. God enough to come through a locked door, but man enough to break bread with them. They witnessed the greatest miracle of all time, and they can't believe it. Their weeping has turned into worship. Their sorrow has turned into joy. They thought their story was done, and now they realize he is who he says he is. He did what he said he was gonna do. And from this day on, they serve him, all of them, except one, to martyrdom. They'd be killed, beheaded. They'd give everything now to follow this man. Jesus Christ comes in the room, and everything changes. He commissions them, and he gives them the gift of the Holy Spirit. In this moment, it's spectacular. It's everything they waited for and they didn't even expect to get. But there's one problem. I don't know if you noticed the number I said earlier. I said 11, not 12. How many of you know there was 12 disciples? In fact, it wasn't even 11, it was 10. Because one of the disciples, his name was Judas, you know what happened to him. But there's one other that's missing at this moment, and his name is Thomas. Verse 24, now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. Could you imagine? Jesus shows up. This is the fulfillment of every prophecy. This is what you gave your life for, and you miss it. Here's what I want to tell you about Thomas, because he gets such a bad rap. Thomas's problem was not a theological problem. Thomas's problem was a proximity problem. The others stayed, but he didn't. I don't know why. Maybe he was weary. Maybe he was scared. Maybe he was running. Maybe he was out getting snacks. I don't know. But he wasn't staying. He wasn't in the room, and he missed it. And today, what is Thomas known as? Doubting Thomas. Doubting Didymus. This is how people know him today. But what I want you to understand is that before he doubted, he made a mistake. He departed. Before he doubted, he departed and he missed the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the greatest miracle of all time. Friends, what I want to tell you tonight is that there are some miracles that you only get to witness if you stay in the place that God has planted you. And it might not happen when you think it's going to happen. But I want you to understand this tonight. God is a faithful God. Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, he put it this way. God is a faithful paymaster. He just doesn't always pay on Fridays. We think we know what he's going to do, but his ways are higher than the heavens are above the earth. And Thomas walked out of the room too soon. I wonder how many times in my life I've walked out of the room too soon. I've walked out of the place that God called me to be before I saw what God had set for me. I wonder how many times in your life you've walked out of the room before God was done doing what he intended to do. And what he sent me to tell you tonight with love is to tell you this, that you gotta stay in the room. You gotta stay in the fight. You gotta stay in the faith. Don't leave before God walks in and flips this story upside down. Because let me tell you this, I know you don't know what tomorrow holds, but you know who holds tomorrow in the palm of his hand. And it's not the enemy, the one out to harm you. It's your God who loves you. Don't walk out of the game. Stay waiting. Stay worshiping. Stay working. Psalm 27 says, wait on the Lord. Wait, be strong and take heart. Wait for the Lord. Galatians 6 says, don't grow weary doing good, for at the proper time, his time, you will reap a harvest if you don't give up, if you stay. Because here's the truth that you got to understand, and I hope this motivates you. The devil can't do anything to stop the promises God has put on your life. He can't. He's a defeated foe. He can't stop the promises God has put on your life. All he can try to get you to do is to walk out of the game early. Imagine if I walked out of that baseball game that I showed you before that grand slam. If I was thinking about the traffic on the Gardiner Expressway and the Don Valley Parkway, y'all, that's a real problem to think about. The devil wants you to walk out of the game before God gets to finish what he has planned for you. It's his only hope of succeeding in your life. Somewhere along the way, we gave the devil too much credit. He cannot stop what God wants to do in your story. The devil doesn't have the power to stop you from heaven, but he can distract you from heaven. He can get you focused on the things that don't matter and try to get you to walk out before you see the promise. But here's the reality, my friends. If it's not good yet, God's not done yet. Because he's a good God, and he has plans to prosper you, not to harm you. So if it's not good yet, God's not done yet. When they were in the upper room, it was not good. It was the opposite of good. It was as bad as it could get. But guess what? Sunday was coming and God was not done yet. Someone needs to know in their life tonight, your Sunday is coming. God is not done with your family. He's not done with your finances. He's not done with your mental health. He's not done with your faith. But don't walk out when the king's in the room. Don't walk out when the creator of the universe is for you. Stay in the fight. Stay in the faith. Some of you, you've been walking out. You've been wondering if it's time to walk out. This whole church thing, this faith thing, it's not getting done. Stay in the faith. For some of us, it's we got to stay in the marriage. God gave you that spouse. For some of us, it's you got to stay in the rehab program. God will give you the strength. For some of you, it's you got to stay in the class. God brought you to the program. He'll give you the strength to get through it. But understand this, God can only finish what you don't walk out on. He can do anything, but he has also given us free will. And the devil wants you to walk out before the game is done. But guess what? The game isn't done when the devil says, it's done when God says. The devil is not your alpha and he won't be your omega. He won't be the one to end your story. You might have thought your life had 9 innings. Well, last night it had 18. Lord, help us if we go 18 tonight. I'm turning the lights off. It's not done yet. So I want to tell you tonight, stay. Stay in his presence. Stay in your assignment. Stay through the process. Stay where God has planted you. The grass is not greener on the other side. In the great words of the philosopher Justin Bieber, it's greener where you water it. I knew that would be cringe. But here's the reality. Thomas, more than his doubt, his problem was that he didn't stay. And he found out something that I never want you to find out. He found out that there's something worse than waiting, and it's called missing. I know waiting is hard, but how hard would it be to find out that the 10 that you served with got to experience the resurrected king and you didn't? You got to stay. And sometimes it's hard to stay, and I understand, and I don't come here to yell at you. I get it. You might say, Pastor, how do I stay when everything in me wants to run? When I've waited for so long for my breakthrough. When I've waited for so long for my relationship. When I've waited for so long for my answer and all I get is silence. How do I stay? It's a great question. And it has a simple answer. The reason why you can stay with your Father is very simple. It's because this. He always stays with you. He always stays with you. When people who were supposed to love you walked out on you, guess who stayed in your story? When that relationship ended that you thought was going to go to the altar of marriage, guess who stayed with you? When you were depressed and you were lonely and you were crying at 3 a.m., guess who sat there and wept with you? There is one who always stays. Would you shout to your neighbor, he stays. Come on, shout it like you've experienced it in your life. He stays. He stays with me. Deuteronomy 31 says, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be terrified. Why? For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He doesn't abandon you. He stays closer than a brother. The reason why you can stay is because he always stays. Even Thomas, who didn't stay, even Thomas, who doubted, he came back for him. He said, Thomas, if this is what you need, here's my hands. Here's my side. Because he's the God who stays. Maybe you've bought the lie of the enemy that you're too bad, that you've let God down too many times, that surely he couldn't stay. He still stays. Why? Because he is your father and you are his son or his daughter. And there's nothing you could do. His presence is not conditional upon your performance. His presence is not conditioned upon your actions. He stays even through your doubt. He stays through your storms. He even stays through the fire. The seasons where it looks like everything is on fire and falling apart. If you don't believe me, ask those three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Ask them if their God stayed with them. Daniel chapter 3, verse 24. Nebuchadnezzar throws them in a fiery furnace. Why? Because he said they need to leave their God. And you know what they said? We're staying worshiping him. Government, you can say what you want to say. Leader, you can say what you want to say, but this is my God and I'll worship him. Even if it means you throw me in the fire. And you know what? God let them get thrown into the fire. But guess what happened next? What did God do? He stayed with them, even in the fire. And Nebuchadnezzar in verse 24 says, didn't we throw three men into the fire? Verse 25, but I see four, and the fourth looks like the Son of God. Yeah, you got it, Nebuchadnezzar. That's exactly who it is. See, he might let you go through the fire, but he will always stay with you, even in the flames. He stays. He stays everywhere you go. When you're living right, he stays with you. When you're living wrong, he stays with you. You don't believe me? Psalm 139, verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. And if I make my bed in hell, in the depths, you are there with me too. Even if you make a bed of your own mess and your own making, I want you to know tonight he's still there. He doesn't like sin. Sin has consequences, but even in sin, he's still with you. His presence is not conditional. He stays in the good times and he stays in the bad times. He's still there. His presence is not conditional. I know you've been trained because you're human, and I am too, that we are transactional and everything's conditional because people have come in your life when it's good for you and they've left in your life when you're bad for them. That's how humanity works, but it's not how Jesus Christ works. He stays. Even when you're fighting the toughest battles, he stays. I've seen it in my life, man. I've had to fight some tough battles. And he was with me every single step of the way. Isaiah 54, 17 says this. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Come on, Pentecostal people. I said no weapon formed against you shall prosper. This is the heritage. Oh, you should be happy about that word. This is the heritage of servants of the Lord. Here's what God is saying. Weapons will form. The Bible's not a sales pitch. The Bible is the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. God says weapons will form in your life. That's a reality, but they will not prosper. That's a promise, and you can take it to the bank. And let me tell you something about the next word in that verse. This is your heritage. How many people in the room have a heritage? Come on. How many people have a Caribbean heritage, an Asian heritage, a European heritage, a South American heritage? Your heritage is something that can never be taken from you. This is important. Make sure you catch this. People can take your title. They can take your house. They can take your money. They can even take your freedom. But no one can ever take your heritage. It's who you are. So when God says weapons will not form, this is your heritage. It means there is nothing that can break this promise. If you are a servant of the Lord, if you serve him through the fire, through the fear, through the fight, he is the God that stays. And the last point, maybe the most important, is this. Because he stays, you can stand. Because you have him, you can stand strong. Maybe you feel like you can't, but you can. Because here's the reality. His staying power gives you standing power to stand up even when it's something bigger than you, even when it looks greater than you. You can stand against depression. You can stand against anxiety. You can stand against what people spoke over your life. You can stand against the addiction that you failed so many times in the past. You can even stand against the enemy on the darkest, hardest day of your life. Why? Because he stays. You can stand. Ephesians 6 says this, therefore, put on the full armor of God. Why? So that when the day of evil comes, when the worst attack possible comes, you can still what? You will be able to stand your ground. After having done everything, do what? Stand. Standing, my friends, is the victorious position. But the devil would love nothing more than to see you sit, to walk out of the game. And the devil has been telling someone in the room that you're not strong enough. You know what? He might be right. You might not be strong enough. I might not be strong enough. But guess what? I serve the one who is absolutely strong enough. The one who is greater. The one who can do anything. The one that spoke the universe into existence. You might not be strong enough, but he is. And guess what? He stays. So you can stand. I don't know if you know this, but your God is undefeated. His record is 999,000-0, and it's not going to be my mess or your mess that makes him witness his first defeat. You have a God who is strong and who is for you. So I want you tonight to tell the devil with a little bit of bravado, with a little bit of attitude, devil, I'm still standing. Come on, somebody shout it. Say, devil, I'm still standing. You try to take me out, but I'm still standing. You brought the weapons, but they didn't prosper. I'm still standing. Why? Why am I still standing? Because God is still staying. And if he's staying, then I'm staying, and I'm standing. So devil, bring what you want, but you're not gonna win in my family. You're not gonna win against my faith. You're not gonna take me with your fear. Isaiah 41 says this, do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not be dismayed. Why? For I am your God. I will strengthen you. And when you fall, I'll help you up. I will uphold you with the righteousness of my right hand. Even when you feel like you're done, when you have no strength left, when you can barely step forward, when you're all the way at the end of your rope, I want to tell you there's good news. Because where your strength ends, his strength begins. Where Ryan McVitie fails, God can now step in. And when God steps into your story, oh, I wish you knew. When God steps in, fear runs out. When God steps in, the devil runs out. When God steps in, depression has to bow. Anxiety has to bow down. Someone in the room, God is getting ready to step into your story. You've been sitting for too long, and that God's telling you tonight, it's time to stand, because you have Jesus Christ, and he's not just the loving, kind rabbi. He's now also the reigning king. His eyes are like fire, and he is powerful, and he is for you. So tonight we're going to worship a little bit longer, and I want to ask you all over the room to stand right now. And I know it's just what we do when we worship, but I don't just mean it literally, I also mean it figuratively. Tonight might be the night where you need to draw the line in the sand and say, I'm standing against what the enemy has been throwing my way tonight. Because I understand now, he has stayed with me through it all. And if he's with me, who can be against me? Stay with him tonight. Stay in the room. Don't miss the miracle. Stay in the fight. Stay in the faith. Because the same God who was with Daniel in the lion's den, the same God who was with Shadrach in the flames and the fire, the same God who came back for Thomas, even when he doubted, that God is staying with you. Tonight, tomorrow, when you sin, next week, next month, he is staying with you. And if he is with you, my friends, you can stand against anything, because anything is possible when the king is in the room. And he's here tonight. He's with you. So maybe tonight will be the night where we see a chain get broken. Because understand this, he's not just the God who stands, he's the God who speaks. And when he speaks, everything listens. Everything above earth, on earth, and under earth listens. When he speaks, mountains move. So stay until he speaks. Stay until the miracle happens. Because if you have him, it's just a matter of time until you see a miracle. There's another miracle on the way. You saw one last year, there's another one on the way. See, here's the thing about this God. When this God told the sun to rise, it did. Here's the thing about this God that you serve, the one true God. When he told the storm to be still, guess what? It listened. When he told the sea where to split, the water moved. When God speaks, everything listens.